Wednesday, sunshine with highs in the mid-70s. Right now, 62 degrees here in Kalamazoo. And, you know, Katie, maybe I should look ahead to Friday and Saturday.
Too early, but we're always looking.
I'm going to tell
at the
you,
fair weather.
It's looking good. Mm-hmm. Mostly sunny and Friday and Saturday with highs in the upper 70s.
Yay.
Well, I should officially introduce you as Katie Houston from the Kalamazoo Institute of Arts.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you for being here on
Pleasure.
WMUK.
Absolutely.
Okay, we're going to take a look at this weekend, of course, the Kalamazoo Institute of Arts Art Fair, which has been just an institution in Kalamazoo's spring / summer, marking the season every year since I've moved to Kalamazoo as a college student back in the very late 80s. But I imagine it's been going on a bit longer than that.
Since before both of us were born. It's been going since 1951. It's actually known as Michigan's first outdoor arts fair, and we're in our 68th year. It started out as the Clothesline Arts Fair, very grassroots, ad hoc. Let's take advantage of Bronson Park, literally clotheslines and clothespins and hanging up people's art that they wanted to share. I'm not sure how much selling went on, especially in the early years, but
bartering.
We like to think of it as an institution.
Wow. Has there always been that proximity to where the Art Institute is and then the
We're lucky to be right at the corner of Bronson Park, for sure. Yeah. Hasn't always been the same building. We've been through some iterations, but and that's a good lead into something fun that's going on the Rotary stage, if I could just dive in.
Let's jump
right
to it.
So we have contracted with a marvelous artist. His name's Patrick Hirschberger. He goes by Bonus Saves. Typically, he's a muralist, and his artwork can be found in Chicago and Detroit and all around the Midwest. Really talented young man. And he is going to be doing our first ever canvas project. Emphasis on the word can. We've been accepting donations of canned food in collaboration with Kalamazoo Loaves and Fishes. And Patrick is going to be creating over Friday and Saturday on the Rotary stage a scale model of our first art center right at the corner, which was originally, it was an old mansion, might be an overstatement, but a really cool old house. And you can see the original picture online. And he's going to be crafting that out of food cans. He's been working on a structure. He's going to be using more than 3,000 cans. Folks really want to come down and see this, especially Saturday. We think it'll all be done by about 3:30. And we're just really excited to do something different and fun. Folks can bring their cans. It's a great chance for families. Bring some cans down.
Building material.
Exactly. Exactly. I'm not sure where we're at with everything we need. We've also had offered financial support through Kalamazoo Loaves and Fishes website to just, you know, throw $10 or $20 at the effort to, so we are indeed buying some cans if we fall short. So
okay.
That's been really fun. We're looking forward to seeing that, you know, art in action.
That sounds very innovative for this young man. Bonus Saves?
Bonus Saves is his nom de art.
Kind of created this idea.
We've been working with him. He's helped us out at the fair two previous times where he's making, he's painting before your very eyes, and he'll create work right there in the park. And so he's been a friend of the museum, and I think it was our fair coordinator's idea. Carrie Ann Zamonsky is our fair queen, and I think she cooked this up in the shower one winter morning. So I thought she was a little crazy, but it's coming together, and it's going to be very cool.
So look for this at the Rotary stage.
Yes, both days, starting at 3 Friday, and I think we're going to be all wrapped up by 3:30 or 4 on Saturday, so people can come down and admire the work and admire the finished product.
It is such a relief just to show up and enjoy the art fair, knowing, you know, when you look around, this is hundreds of hours of work.
Oh, you're not kidding.
Would you give us a little insight into the planning preparation?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's virtually a year-round effort. The artists are juried, and so the application period is opens in October and closes January 31st every year, and then the jurying process gets undertaken by professional artists in the area. We retain a new group every year, And this is really, this is our biggest fundraiser for the museum and art school. We garner all the proceeds from application fees and booth fees. We don't get any of the proceeds from your purchase of artwork in the park. That supports the local artists and the regional artists who are coming from all over. And volunteers make this happen. More than 100 volunteers are helping us over 2 days. Nearly every staff in the building are on deck. So that's the art school, museum education, exhibitions. As the marketing manager, I work in the advancement department, and it is really our baby to put on, but we're buttonholing people all over the place to get them down to the park. It's not a hard sell because it's a lot of fun. There's still a chance to volunteer if somebody wants to, you know, bring their son or daughter or niece or girlfriend. We've got opportunities, and we can hook you up if you give a call or get online.
Oh, well, what are some of the jobs that you assign volunteers?
Well, we might have room to help Bonus in his can project on stage, which might be fun. We have the opportunity, we have artist liaisons, so a two-hour shift to just check in with a small quadrant of artists, get them some water, watch their booth real quick if they need a potty break, just making sure they're taken care of. You know, we want to take care of the artists. They need to have a good experience, so they'll come back and make it a success.
What is your sense of how often artists do come back and value this art show as one that they need to have on their calendar?
We have a lot of return artists. People come back to see them every year, their favorites. David Smalcomb comes to mind. He's a jeweler whose work I own a little bit of.
Can't resist it.
You'll find photographers and ceramists, printmakers, painters, jewelers, lots of jewelry. There's two categories, precious and non-precious. So, you know, your diamonds and gold are one category, and your more fun, colorful type of things that aren't working in the really expensive materials are another category, which means there's jewelry for every budget, which is my total weakness. I got to make sure I dig through the sofa cushions and clean out the car for some money for the art fair.
How do some of these artists structure their year? I mean, is this one show they do, or do they try to take that booth and take it many places?
Yes. There are artists for whom this is their complete and total livelihood. There are artists who maybe just do this in the summer, but there's no question that we are not their only arts fair stop. You know, Michigan is known for fairs in Ann Arbor and East Lansing and St. Joe, and it's a summertime thing up here, but certainly down in Florida or Texas or New Mexico, there are fairs. And we have some major travelers on the list of artists right now. A lot of Midwest, of course, but as far away as Washington State, Florida, Maine, New Mexico. So a solid handful who really travel and make sure to put us on their schedule. So that's great.
What piece of art is worth it? Like, how do you, so art sells for crazy amounts of money sometimes.
Sometimes, sure.
Yeah. How do you become a collector, or how do you just decide to support an artist?
Sure. That's a really good question. And how do you answer that? I think if you've never been to an art fair before, you just come on down, have an elephant ear and sort of window shop. But, you know, these artists, they may not be museum artists, you know, the ones who can sell a painting for $30,000 or more. You're going to find artwork well under, I would say, the $2,000 mark. Now, that's still a lot of money for a lot of people, but that's probably the high end. That's for a stained glass piece by Alan Sievers from Illinois. His work is, I love seeing his work because it makes my job easier, putting pictures on social media and on the website. And this stuff takes a long time to create. And I remember for meeting an artist last fall, the Arts and Eats tour throughout the area in October. And I asked a very common question, how long did this take you? And I got a very thoughtful answer. And he said, well, It's really not about the time, because what creates this art is my education and my experience and all my mistakes and all my process from, you know, the time I started to right now. So he sort of schooled me a little bit in what's, you know, to think about how art is created and what you're really supporting or buying. I've got art all over my walls, but I don't think I've spent more than a couple hundred dollars on anything. Mm. Again, you can find something for your kitchen. You can find functional things, a pair of earrings for $20 or $30. Again, jewelry's my weakness, but I just love color, love glass. You're going to have just a nice experience in the park looking, even if it's not for you, even if you're spending your money for your kids to make some art and getting an elephant ear and a smoothie. That's cool.
I think the word love is key here, mm-hmm. because if you love it, you love it.
Yeah.
I mean, and
you can make it a part of your life.
You don't have to have someone else tell you that's good or
bad. You can get a gorgeous coffee mug from Amy Hudson or Julie Devers, who teach at the KIA.
Yeah.
And ceramics is my other weakness. Beautiful stuff. Handmade. One of a kind. You know, it's a great gift place.
I mean, the collective
something
knowledge
for Father's and Day.
Wisdom in,
right.
in that park.
Yeah.
Is an experience.
I mean, you can almost feel the creativity.
Yeah.
And, of course, the artists have to, if they want to make this a livelihood, they create a beautiful booth. They create a wide variety of things. They have to be engaging. So there is a business side to it. But of course, you know, they're happiest in their studio with the music going and nobody around and, you know, just giving over a weekend or every evening. So artists are great people. Just, you know, come and say hi to one and tell them, hey, this is pretty. And walk on. You don't have to buy.
I'm with Katie Houston, who is with the Kalamazoo Institute of Arts. And it's big featured time of year is this weekend, Friday and Saturday. At Bronson Park.
Mm-hmm.
3 o'clock is when booths are open.
That's right.
For business.
The kickoff is at 3. Goes till 8. Art sales at 3 to 8. We are part of Art Hop, of course, for June, so we have a beer garden right outside the museum. That goes from 4 until 10. We have some live music from the Steve Kammerling Trio around 5 o'clock. And I don't know if you've, I bet you've heard of the Behar Ensemble.
Yes.
Of course.
Yes.
I knew you would because you're a music woman. And so they were with us last year, and they're coming back. And this is some fine, fine artists. Several, if not most, are from out of the country.
Mm-hmm. Ahmad Tawfiq is sort of the leader of Behar, and he studied violin at Western Michigan University and then looked for ways to engage young children of refugees
mm-hmm.
here in our community, and started a program for them, and then started a professional ensemble, the Behar.
There's just beautiful music.
Yeah, I
saw beautiful music.
I heard them rehearsing at K College the other day.
Yep, we're looking forward to having them back. And that's a really interesting segue to an exhibition that's opening on
Saturday. We should mention this next, yeah.
Might not be the best day to open an exhibition, given all that's going on in downtown Kalamazoo. But Sunday and through the summer, we have Orna Ben-Ami, Entire Life in a Package. She is an Israeli-born sculptor who works, starts out with, where do I say, I've been talking about this exhibition, it's so exciting. She welds iron to photographs. That's the simplest thing. She starts with Reuters.
I've never seen anything like
she
that.
She starts with Reuters news photographs. Hopefully we've heard of the Reuters news service. Photographs of people traveling, people having to leave their home, people seeking a better life. And so we have families, old women, young children. And what she does is she hones in on what the people are carrying, a satchel, a package of frames, a doll. And she will weld the doll. She'll weld the satchel. She'll weld this suitcase and affix it to the photograph so it becomes 3D, mixed media, beautiful, poignant work about what is important to people when they are forced to leave their home. So it spotlights refugees around the world. You can't turn on the news without hearing about refugees and the reasons they're leaving their homes to find a better life. And she is a fascinating person in her own right, and she's going to be here for a talk Thursday evening, June 20, which we're also very excited about. So the exhibition opens this weekend. She's coming for an artist's talk, and the work itself is very accessible, very, very moving, and we're really tickled to have her. Her talk is sponsored by the Congregation of Moses Kalamazoo, so we're partnering with communities that may have a special interest in this kind of artwork, and we're happy to have her through mid-August.
Katie, does the KIA often allow an exhibit to open and let, you know, hundreds of people see it before bringing in the artists themselves so that, you know, you can have kind of
an informed discussion? Sure.
Yeah.
Well, and that's the good thing. She's coming on a couple weeks out. So we hope once people see the exhibition, they'll want to come back and meet her. And I'm excited. Her background, she met her military requirement in the state of Israel. So she had a military career. Then she was a journalist. Then she studied art. She's one of these talented people with a handful of degrees who's so experienced and been around the world, and all of that informs, you know, what she does. Being a journalist, of course, is going to inform her perspective, and she's just fascinating, and I haven't even met her. So
it's hard to, I mean, since you brought along some printed material, I'm looking at a photograph of a chosen Reuters photo of a woman sitting down and like in both hands holding like a baby holding a satchel filled with frames, but I can't see the 3D aspect. I think this is an in-person experience.
Oh, absolutely.
Really need
No question.
To absorb. And the physicality of it, I get it. I would be clinging to my belongings too.
Exactly. That's a hard thing to imagine. You know, having to, I mean, snatch up your family and whatever else you can grab. I can only imagine that she's got family photographs and one-of-a-kind, irreplaceable, you know, very meaningful artwork in there, which is sort of a double meaning. She took art with her, so I love that.
So the art fair is Friday and Saturday, and this exhibit, come back on Sunday?
Well, it opens Saturday.
If
you need a break from the fair, please come take a look, and it's open through mid-August. She'll be here June 20. We also have a couple of other sort of attending programs. Our museum education department is so busy all the time. They work to create programs that intersect with the exhibitions. And they work several months out. So there's a film screening coming up on the 13th, which is just next week. Really fascinating. It's called Refusing to Be Enemies, The Zaytuna Story. And I'm going to just read this so I don't mess it up. The film does not answer questions of right and wrong or how to solve the Middle East conflict. Instead, it offers living proof how the journey of personal transformation might pave the way to socio-political transformation and peace. A self-formed group of 12 women, 6 Arabs and 6 Jews, call themselves Zaytuna, the Arab word for olive tree. It's an Ann Arbor-based group, and one of the filmmakers and a couple of the women from the group are coming for this film screening next Thursday, the 13th. So that's a beautiful intersection with this exhibition, too.
Can I follow KIA events on Facebook or social media somehow?
Of course.
The website,
KIArts.org.
KIArts.org.
Yep. We're on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. Some busier than others.
Yeah.
Facebook is very busy, and Twitter and Instagram a little less so, but we're working on that.
So for however you prefer, if you do the social media thing, which can be... That's probably my favorite thing. Is it keeps me. It reminds me of what's going on around me.
I love Instagram because it's the place for beautiful photography, and we have a lot of opportunity with that. So, and we've got two other exhibitions opening next month, so that's fun too.
Well, we'll get to. Let me leave those for a little bit
very good.
Later, since we looked at Friday night, 3 to 8, and Bona Saves is going to be starting his sculpture, his canvas,
right?
Sculpture. How about Saturday?
Oh, Saturday's fun. It's we are opening up the artist booths at 9 a.m. This is not our event, but you should know the Doodah Parade goes by starting around 11, between 11 and 12. It's very, very busy. Be careful about trying to, you know, get to the park, truthfully. At noon, we will have launch our children's activities. We have an art-making tent and family entertainment, so two special places for kids and families right in the middle of the park. The art making for the kids is a nominal $5 for three projects. They get to do and take. I think there's a scavenger hunt in there too. And then some family entertainment is going on as well. So our you know how big a cultural town this is.
And
we've got some marvelous folks coming to perform. Crawl Space Eviction Improv Comedy, the Face Off Theater Company, the Wellspring Dance Academy students. They'll be on the family stage throughout the afternoon. And also our family-friendly young children's program called Art Detectives will also have story time. So that's one of our favorite things. We have families come in once a month. Well, we hope families will come in. We offer Artie the Art Detective, which is a way to introduce children to the art museum. So we do an art-based story, we have a gallery activity for parents to take their children in, and then art making. And it's the second Saturday of every month, and of course, this month, that means the art fair.
Details at kiarts.org.
Yes, ma'am.
One thing I've always, I don't know why I'm surprised every year, but I always like, with a great pleasure, take the map from a volunteer.
Mm-hmm.
I get to one of the corners from wherever I've parked, and someone hands me a full list of the vendors, how to find them. And I scroll, look for my favorites from last year. And sometimes they're there, sometimes they're not, but I can find them. That's a great little detail that you've added.
Absolutely. People want to know even now what are the artists that are coming. So that's online. If you have a favorite you want to see, go to the Arts Fair page on the website. 186 of them.
Save your
fill in that park, yeah. Amongst all the beautiful florals, flowers, and topiary from Kalamazoo in bloom and River Street floral that make that park so beautiful every spring.
You know, if you just walk from Bronson down south, and then you'll see the mall is all set up with vendors.
Art
too.
On the Mall. That's another art fair in town, so you cannot go wrong. The Arts Council of Greater Kalamazoo puts that on. I think there's about 50 artists, and I try to sneak away and take a gander over there too. So no excuse not to find something.
The library's having its book sale.
Oh, and the ladies' library is having their ice cream social. So it's June Jubilee weekend. We've had some chuckles. There was some attempt to change what we call it. June Jubilee sounds like maybe it was created in the 1950s, but nobody came up with a better one. And I kind of like it. I think it's sweet, and it's kind of hometown and Midwest. And, you know, you'd have to really fill some big shoes to do better. So it's still the June Jubilee.
We're just going to embrace
that. We're just, yeah, come on. Come down and have some ice cream and an elephant ear and a parade. So
you mentioned that the artists are juried.
Yeah.
Who's on the jury, and how do they decide among all the different kinds of art?
I'm glad you asked. The jurors have a two-pronged job. In February, they are examining hundreds and hundreds of electronic entries. That's how an artist says, hey, I'd really like to be in the fair. Here's a picture of my booth. Here's a picture of my artwork. So there's certain requirements through the application or portal called zapplication.com. So the jurors work to invite about 200 artists. Not everybody is able to make it or says yes. As you mentioned before, they're going to a lot of arts fairs. Ours is a little late this year because of Friday, June 7 being the first Friday. So as the fair fills up, we may have invited people from the wait list. So the jurors choose who's at the fair. But then on Friday, we have a pair of jurors for each of 12 mediums who go around the park
24
to choose jurors. The best in the medium, so the best of category. And when the artists close up at 8, they come over to the museum to have a nice dinner, and we announce those awards, and it's a cash prize of $350. So the jurors are on their feet. They're throughout the park for several hours in the afternoon working together to figure out who's number one in the glass or in the non-precious jewelry or in the fiber. And so you'll see them in some green T-shirts with clipboards, and they meet the artists and see what's what. And they're all arts educators or artists or in the business of art. So they are essentially volunteers as well. We couldn't do it without them.
And the next day you see the ribbons hanging from
That's right.
the various booths.
The artists get their ribbons, and then they get a check in the morning, and they get to brag. They got bragging rights. And they're also invited back. They're exempt from jurying the next year. And so that's kind of a nice perk as well.
I have enjoyed talking to artists themselves who are often willing to explain their process. And I imagine that's over and over with everyone who wanders in. But you certainly come away with a huge appreciation for the detail and more time than you could ever, and patience often. Mm-hmm. I mean, take pottery. You put that in the kiln, and the failure rate is like 30% sometimes.
Well, I did not know that. He taught me something.
You know,
you've
gotten it 90% of the way there. It's looking perfect, and then it cracks in the kiln. Ugh. That's just
right?
Heartbreaking.
Well, I think that's part of making art. You're not going to be perfect out of the gate. You learn, you practice, you make mistakes, you start over. Maybe you can recycle your materials, maybe you can't. You know, that's the sort of thing, that's a message we also try to get out when we're talking about coming to take an art class. You know, kids don't care. They're not coming in there trying to be, they're just there to have a great time. But adults, you know, our art school is for everybody. And we have introductory classes in all mediums. We're not expecting you to know how to do something or be good at anything. That's where the fun comes in, is to just come on into the studio, meet some other people, have some fun, play with pastels or clay or paint. So the school will have sort of a triple-sized display booth in the park, and they'll have some artists at work. And, you know, you'll probably meet somebody who's teaching a class, so... Do you remember our class back in high school? That was fun. That was a highlight of the day. And we just want folks to know that the art classes at the art school are really designed for everybody. I mean, of course, we have more intensive classes for students who have want to learn and do more. I mean, I've met art students who've been coming for 20 years. It's their thing. It's their avocation. It's how they spend their time and money. And we're thrilled with that. But we also want folks to just feel comfortable. You know, we have 1 and 2 day workshoppy things that are easy to try out. So
give it a whirl.
Yeah, give it a whirl.
Katie Houston is my guest. She is marketing director of the Kalamazoo Institute of Arts, and the KIA Art Fair is Friday and Saturday. Fingers crossed, weather is looking really, really beautiful. Let's finish up our talk, though, with looking ahead a little bit. We've already mentioned the exhibit opening June 8th by Orna Ben-Ami, Entire Life in a Package. And you can meet this artist on June 20th, a reception and talk, 5:30 to 8 p.m. But that's not the only exhibit opening in June.
Golly, no. You know, we have 10 galleries to fill, and our upper level is usually traveling or curated shows, borrowed shows, while our permanent galleries are in the lower level. So we have two more shows opening in June. One is called L'Esprit, Exploring Wit and Beauty in French Prints. So that's fun and colorful and interesting. And you're going to see some names you've heard of: Paul Gauguin, Edouard Manet, Camille Pissarro, Edgar Degas. So if you didn't know we had some of those famous artists, you'll want to come by. We also have something called Moments of Peace, Watercolors by Sung Yung Moon. He is known as an action painter and makes huge canvases, beautiful combinations of abstract watercolor layering and drips and drabs and floating. He's been likened to Jackson Pollock. The artist, he is also going to be here in July. I won't get into that, but we have a lovely summer of artists and curators talking about the exhibitions. So it's not just art on the walls at the KIA. It's other things that go along with. And I can't leave without giving a nod to the West Michigan Area Show, which exhibits artists from 14 counties. It's our annual juried fair to spotlight the art of Southwest Michigan artists. And it's always a joy because you see everything here. And this is an exquisite exhibition this year. Some years are more, what exactly is that? I mean, we recognize that not every piece is for everybody. And sometimes you'll get some abstract stuff or some stuff you're like, boy, I don't know about that. And we welcome those responses. You can hate something or laugh at something. But I have to say this year's area show is beautiful, provocative, creative, inspiring, and it's there all summer. And when you visit, you get a chance to vote for your favorite. The Arts Council has sponsors a People's Choice Award, so that's a nice $750 prize be awarded in August. So if you stop by to see that show, be sure to pick one out and cast a vote.
Well, Katie, thanks for dropping in and catching us up on all things Kalamazoo Institute of Arts. Any ideas you want to leave us with? The website again?
KIArts.org for the web and Facebook. You can find us on Facebook. We try to load up all of our events and keep you entertained. I'm always interested with Facebook. When I put something up that's not about us, but that's, I don't know, the other day I found a hot air balloon, and it looked like the face of Vincent van Gogh. And I'm always trolling for fun stuff, and I put that up, and that's the kind of thing that people love and share and tag, and that makes me feel good. Of course, my job is to market, but it's fun just to throw interesting things out there that I see other museums put up or whatever. I have to shout out the Arts Council Battle Creek, who's ever doing their social media, has great stuff, and I always borrow and steal it. So
that's nice of you to give credit
there. Sure, why not?
Well, one thing you'll always see on Art Fair weekends is families walking around, and often mom or dad pushing that perambulator or
Scrabble word.
I can't actually, the baby carriage, the word for it? And sometimes it's sort of a running tripod.
That's it, yeah.
Sleek kind of unit. But there's a piece by John Alden Carpenter written in 1916 called Adventures in a Perambulator.
I love that.
And it's got that sort of sunshiny first weekend of June feel to it. So
for sure.
Here's that piece. And thanks again, Katie, for coming to WMUK.
Thank you, Kara.